How much time till we're on?
Come on, Ron!
What?
We're on the air right now.
I'm ready. Good evening, I'm Ron Burgundy. Here's what's going on in your world tonight.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Well, no Badge. He's on holidays. It's Sats and Jace here. Welcome to a Monday night edition of Sports Day. What a massive weekend it has been in sport. Hello, Scotty Sattler.
I can't believe Badge. Where does Badge get these clauses in his contract where he goes on 4 weeks holiday, then another 3 weeks?
Yeah, don't drag me into this.
But you're the content manager, apparently. You're the one that ticks off on these contracts. Mate, so, put your hand up. Mm. I know you've been away.
Put your hand up, mate, when you're going to push
when
the
in
button.
Doubt, you just go back to these.
Can you stop abusing me while I'm playing audio of you abusing me? Why are you
Hello,
so
everyone.
Cranky today, by the way?
I don't know.
Not much sleep?
No, I've got plenty of sleep.
Right.
Just a Monday thing, I think.
You're a bit stressed out about your son moving to Sydney and all that sort of stuff.
My son's moving to the Riff. He's moving to Penrith. One of the proudest days of my life.
What?
He's not playing football, though, is
no.
he?
No.
He's an accountant.
He is an accountant.
Very good. Mate, I reckon you're probably more stressed than what he is.
He's not stressed at all. He's looking forward to moving to the Riff. He's a mad Penrith supporter, so.
Oh, good stuff.
Kill two birds with one stone. Yeah, but what a weekend.
Oh, it was huge.
What a great weekend as we watch a 1994 replay of the Raiders up against the Knights at Marathon Stadium. Brett Mullins, if you remember that, listeners, he went absolutely crazy that night, scored a couple of tries. But, yeah, it was a great weekend, of course, the soccer and West Indies and Australia.
Yeah, we get to all that in just – oh, and the V8s. It's the last time. Well, supercars, I should say. Last time we'll see a Holden car, and what a wonderful weekend for Holden. We'll recap all that in the top seven tonight. Welcome to our listeners through the Super Radio Network, SEN 1170. In Sydney, 1620 on the Gold Coast, SENQ 693 AM in Brizzy, 1323 AM in Canberra. Those listening through our SEN track stations and via the SEN app. Don't forget, you can grab a podcast of the show afterwards. Just look for Sports Day New South Wales. And, of course, this show is nothing, absolutely nothing without you, our listeners, 0457 736 736 is our text number. We'll kick it off with what's your highlight from the weekend in sport. Or call us 1300 01 1170. Oh, and TikTok, it's going nuts. Look for Bad Sats SEN.
Mm.
What did you like from the weekend?
I like plenty of things, actually. I like the chance for Steve Smith to captain for a short period of time in that first test against the West Indies. I like that. That's what I liked from the weekend. I like that Cameron Devlin, the Socceroo, who did not play a minute, mind you.
That's great.
He had the strut and the sheer audacity, the temerity, as Joel Cain would say, to walk into the Argentinian dressing shed and swap his playing jersey, which hasn't had an ounce of sweat put on it, with Lionel Messi.
See, the surprising thing out of that, no one tried to swap jerseys on the field.
Mm.
How good was that game on Sunday morning?
Outstanding. It was so good. It was, you know, so gallant Australia and all of their performances. I mean, take away the French, the first game, but all the performances were just built on just fortitude, toughness and...
Geez, you're pulling out some big words tonight.
Mm. I swallowed a dictionary over the weekend, but no, it was great to watch.
What?
It was really interesting to watch. Yeah, what'd you like?
Oh, mate, I love the Socceroos Sunday morning, and I like the fact they didn't give up, and even within that last 30 seconds, we had a chance to level the scores, and it was amazing. I didn't see a lot of sport, to be honest, over the weekend. I'm not watching much of the cricket, so I'm actually finding it pretty boring. I've been listening to a lot.
Is it just the opposition, or?
Yeah, there's no atmosphere. I mean, let's talk about the crowds. There were more people in public spaces.
Well, that's what I didn't like. The crowds at the cricket.
Like 40,000 was the total crowd, or 40 and something thousand, at the what's it called, Optus Stadium, over the 5 days. Mm. Now, this is a test that went 5 days, not three. Went 5 days. So there wasn't a massive crowd there. And why isn't there? Like, why aren't people going to support our Australian cricket? And I've heard all sorts of excuses.
It can't be they're playing too much cricket because T20, a few one days against England, and then two tests versus the West Indies.
Is it the opposition?
It's not too much cricket.
What is it then?
But in the past, we haven't worried about the opposition, Woogie, because all we really want to see is Australia dominate and see, you know, players like Manish Labuschagne and Steve Smith called centuries and double centuries and, you know, in years gone by, going and watching Warnie and Glenn McGrath take Pfeiffer.
Yeah, yeah.
So it doesn't matter who we've played against, we've always turned up. But I'm not sure why people aren't turning up now. Is it because what we've spoken about over the last three,
Wokeism?
4 weeks, where people are just over some of the decisions that have been made mostly by Pat Cummins? Not quite sure, but I'd like to hear from you. We'll see what your thoughts are. 0457 736 736.
I don't know whether it's actually Pat Cummins making the decisions or whether he's just the messenger as well. I'm not sure. We don't know. We don't know what's going on there.
Hey, I'll tell you what I did like. Can I just quickly touch on that?
Yeah.
The AFL draft, which I love watching and listening to.
How arrogant, though.
I love listening to the AFL, the draft as well, and transfer windows. But a first-round draft pick for St Kilda, his name's Matthias Philippou. And I love the excitement on kids' faces and the way they express themselves, especially when they come to a club for the first time. So he visited St Kilda, and he's just a mad St Kilda fan, and he's been drafted, as I said, by St Kilda. And when shown the facility and meeting the players and some of the legends of the club, yeah, his expressions were really refreshing to see.
Nice to meet you, Lenny. Pleasure. Thank you. It's awesome to be here. Far out. You're a superhero. Man, I watched you on TV growing up. 09, 010. We were rooting for you heavy against Collingwood.
Max King.
Wow.
So he's here.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's all yours. Oh my God. Is
He was so respectful.
That's awesome.
He was so respectful of not only the club that's just signed him, but just all the great players the club has had who introduced themselves to him. There's nothing better than seeing a new kid at a club and the reaction they get.
Sorry, Sats, I thought you were going to refer to the draw that the AFL released for round one. That's when I said arrogant. That's certainly not arrogant.
Okay.
But they released the draw just as the Socceroos were kicking off in the World Cup round of 16. That's great, isn't it?
They wouldn't have realised.
Oh, come on. How could – there wouldn't be a person in Australia who didn't know the Socceroos.
But they wouldn't have thought that if they released it that it was going to take centre stage. They would say, well, let's just release it and people will read it. But we know that the Socceroos – they wouldn't have released it to try and boycott – not try and boycott, try to hijack the situation.
Well, not release it at 9 o'clock? Come on.
Hey, can I tell you something about
actually, can you hold on that? I just want to go to James, who's waiting patiently on the phone in Hornsby. G'day, James.
Afternoon, gentlemen. Nice day it's been.
Well, you're in Hornsby, and I believe there's big storms coming through Sydney. Is that right?
It's been through a bit of lightning, a bit of thunder, and a little spit of rain. That's about it. It's all out to sea now. Slightly cloudy, so it's all right.
Yeah, James.
I just took the heat off the weather.
Weather from New Farm. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, mates, you've got a highlight for the weekend.
Yeah, first of all, third week in a row I've shot under 90, so I'm pretty wrapped with that.
What?
Second round. I shot 41 up the stick on the first nine, and then I shot 48, so it flew out in the back nine. But anyway,
no,
that's me.
But
there's other guys that... Yeah, I'm giving myself a pat in the back. I've got to. Because usually I'm hitting Don Bradman. I'm averaging
I'm
Don
I'm hearing
Bradman
you, brother.
Usually.
I'm hearing you. Yeah, no worries. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, but one guy came in the clubhouse, and he actually won the championship, the medal, Dave. He shot 90 off the stick. Par 65 at Gordon.
Yeah.
90 off the stick. So we all cracked a beer for him and that. Have a guess how old he is.
Will you tell us?
93.
What?
He's 93 years old.
So he'd beat you, Woogie, at 93.
Yeah, anyone can beat me. 93
off the stick.
What? Did you say it's a par?
90 off the stick.
Wait, I've got more questions. It's a par 65. What is this, a par 3 golf course? I remember growing up playing at Sefton. And this whole golf course at Sefton, it's just par threes. That's all it is. So plenty of par threes, though.
It's about six par threes, two par fives, and the rest of the fours. But it's narrow.
Good. Right. How was it?
I mean, at the moment, I hit 36 points now. I hit around 30, 29. By an aspect, which is par 72, I hit 44 points.
Geez, there you go.
Because if you go a bit off, you're stuffed.
Yeah, no, that is true.
You've got to hit real straight.
All right, James, bought under that 93. What's that 93-year-old? What's that 93-year-old bloke's name?
Yeah, Alan Quinn.
All right, well done, buddy. Well done. All right.
Alan Quinn, yeah, 90 off the stick.
Right, beauty, mate. We better let you run.
Couldn't believe it.
Your line is shocking. Oh, I've got to go.
I'm in the car driving home.
All right, mate. Take care. Drive safely.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
1300 01 1170. What's your highlight from a sporting weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Did you? Oh, you want me to go to the next caller?
You got Adrian.
I don't want to
go. Yeah, here we go. Adrian.
Our favourite accountant. Hello, Adrian.
I'm not an accountant, you clown. What's wrong with you?
He's a real estate agent.
Oh.
Woogie.
I would be an accountant, mate. Over. Yes, Adrian. What can I do for you? Mate. Jokes, mate.
Look.
Jokes.
First of all, I want to talk about the cricket.
Yep.
I want to talk about the cricket, then quickly about the Canterbury Bulldogs and potential captain for that club. Mate, the Australian cricket team, mate, they're on the nose. Seriously, the way David Warner's been carrying on, he should be lucky, thanking his lucky stars that they welcomed him back into the team and pull his head in and score runs. The problem with the West Indies, they're like a tier four side.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no challenge. They're like a tier four team.
But what's
hopeless? I mean, once we got three for 600, it was over as a contest.
Adrian, let's have a conversation. What's David Warner doing that is so wrong? What's he whinging about?
Oh, but he wants to be captain of Thunder. Sorry, you disgraced the country with Sandpapergate.
Right.
And you should be fortunate enough that you've come back into the Australian team.
But mate, he's paid his dues.
But
don't
mate,
you
the
think?
Way he came, I saw that unfold live when it happened in South Africa. And when he came through customs to bring his wife and children through, like he was using them as a buffer, was disgraceful. Right. They should have been met elsewhere with family. He should have faced the press on his own.
Hey, Adrian, can I ask you, Steve Smith? Now, I believe that Steve Smith should be welcomed back as captain if given the opportunity. I'm thinking because of Sandpapergate, you're thinking that he shouldn't be allowed to be.
Steve Smith was more remorseful, mate, way more remorseful. But they virtually ruined Cameron. They come up to Cameron bankrupt or whatever. We don't know the full details. But what could have he have done? Poor guy. He's just a rookie under the pump from two senior players.
Well, you can say no. You actually can say no. No, guys, I'm not comfortable doing this.
But but Woogie, mate, that's a lot of pressure on a young kid in what his first or second test. If that makes it worse for Smith and Warner. If that's exactly what happened,
right?
But Steve Smith looked genuinely remorseful on that day. He was a broken man. I felt sad for him. David Warner, he comes through with his family. That was
so. It's because Dave Warner didn't show any remorse. He can't take up a leadership role
and walk through custom with his family. To me, it was like, use him as a buffer.
Oh well,
that's the impression I got.
I've never been a
man. If I was Dave Warner and I had my wife there, Candice, and my children, I would have arranged for her parents to meet them elsewhere.
Or get an Uber.
Maybe Dave's
wouldn't
wife, Candice, can fight better
than him.
Maybe she's a better fighter.
Sats, wouldn't you have done the same thing, Sats?
What's that? I would have found a back door somewhere.
No, but wouldn't you have got your family through elsewhere and faced the press on your own?
Yeah, I would have faced the press on my own. Yep.
Yeah, 100%.
Mm. You wouldn't do it, though. You're squeaky clean.
You know, and honestly, what's the point? No one was watching because who cares? I didn't even know when the thing started.
Come on, mate. You're starting to sound like Glenn now. Seriously.
Hey, thanks, Adrian. No, you're
hang
right.
Hang on. But where's the challenge in these test series? Who cares?
But we didn't care about the challenge once upon a time. We used to love just turning up and
watching
Australians play.
No, I always care
play.
About a challenge because... And the problem is, Everything's geared towards the batsman. I mean, the fact that Adam Voges averages 61 point something, not his fault, but it's ridiculous.
Mate.
They bring the rope in 20 metres.
Adrian.
They restrict the fast bowler.
Adrian, we're only on for bowling. 2 hours. can you just...
Yeah, but hang on.
Mystery man... No, don't tell me to hang on. It's our show. Mystery man sent a test. Ask Adrian if they should bring back Michael
Hart. Boy.
All right, we're going. We're going.
Good See stuff.
You. Bye.
Thanks for your call, Adrian.
No, don't thank him.
No.
Because then he'll call back.
No, everyone should have an opinion.
Let's do a quick poll. 0457 736 736. Should Adrian go on the air again? In fact, we've got a text here. Is this a recording from Jimmy's show? Oh, I can't say that. No. Go away, Adrian. Dead set. That's from 199.
Adrian, thank you very much.
No.
I'm happy to debate.
All righty. What else is there?
Yeah, no, we have got a lot of our listeners, once again, very passionate about the cricket and where it sits at the moment. And it is around, you ask the question, why is it at the moment? Why are people not turning up? And we've got Fitzy saying it's because they're a bunch of flogs, unlike our soccer team, who showed genuine remorse at getting beaten. Fitzy. Mm. And I've got another one here around boys, pat is on the nose. Don't tell us your opinion whilst in Australia. Yeah, play cricket. Don't tell us what to do. No forgiveness. Pete from Livo.
I noticed there's a something on the run sheet here. We'll have to get to it soon because Alex Brosk, by the way,
yes,
is joining us to wrap up Australia's campaign at the World Cup. And, I mean, we've all got to try and find another team to go for now. I'm going to support Japan. Hopefully they can win tonight.
Argentina for me.
The team that knocked us out,
yep.
Yours, why?
Well, because they had to be good to beat us. So they deserved a win if they beat Australia. And Lionel Messi's never won a World Cup.
He's won everything else. He's won everything
else.
It's
like Andrew Eddingshausen, never won a grand final.
Okay. Rightio, listen, who do you want to see win the World Cup now? Are you still going to watch it? Have you picked another team? 0457 736 736. By the way, if you haven't, we haven't given away that Ziggy barbecue yet from Ziegler and Brown. You can go to icanwin.com.au. This is Sports Day. Thanks to Kia. When we come back, Alex Brosk joins us on Sports Day.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. We'll be back soon. Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
First pass, Molina. Good turn of foot there from Aziz Bates. Looks up, gets a cross in. Clearance not... a slight deflection, and it's a goal for Australia. Craig Goodwin has scored from a long way out. Heavy deflection, completely wrong-footed. Emiliano Martinez. Enzo Fernandez, the midfielder, is the culprit. And Australia have a goal in this round of 16 clash.
Yeah, we're down 2-1 at that stage. And was it possible? We were going to get back and equalised. In fact, it went down to the last 30 seconds. The man who's part of SEN's global game host, he's also a former Socceroo, as part of SEN's coverage of the FIFA World Cup, is joining us. Alex Brosk, how are you, Broski?
I'm very good, very good. Still hurting from this morning. The boys were incredible once again and did us all extremely proud, but obviously losing in the way we did, seeing Argentina scrambling to try and waste time and do whatever they could to get over the line. I mean, it's great to see an Australian side being able to do that.
How is the support by Australians all around Australia? I've never seen anything like it in public spaces all around the joint. It's just beautiful to see, and it's so good when Australia can unite for the one cause.
Look, it is, and I think what these players probably don't realise is exactly how big that moment was. I mean, we saw it, back in 2006 with that incredible generation of players and they got out of the group and faced Italy. But I don't think even what we, the scenes that we saw this morning, I don't think we even saw them back then. It was incredible. Every city was packed. Wherever there was a TV, people in front of it. And it was so good to see. I mean, I saw the scenes and just thought, imagine, replicating, and I know it's hard, but replicating that every week and having stands full in the A-League, and how good that would be. And I think there'll definitely be a buzz heading back into the A-League starting this weekend, which we should benefit from that. But, look, I think what the players have done for in the whole country, just seeing, how they united everybody, they should be incredibly proud. I mean, I know it's difficult for them to see it all being over there, but once they come home... we're lucky as well. We've got so many of them playing in the A-League. I think everybody needs to get out there, show your appreciation. These guys are heroes. I mean, what they did in incredibly difficult circumstances against some of the best players on the planet, to stand up to them, to fight against them, to show the Aussie way against them, which we were hoping to see. We saw it. You know, these guys, when they come home, deserve to be honoured by people going out to see them every week.
Absolutely. And, you know, we did have the Argentinians. They were nervous, weren't they, towards the end of that game. But to focus on a negative, unfortunately, but Matty Ryan's mistake, Alex, unfortunate way to finish a tournament for a man that was just, he was sensational through the entire tournament, wasn't he?
He was, and he'll be hurting from that, no doubt. Anybody, you know, in that situation would. But, look, I'm sure the players would have gotten around him. And he's been such an incredible player for us over the years. And I know there was a lot of, you know, chat about Mitch Langerak having come in. But I think he proved a lot of people wrong, you know, that he deserved to be there. He's our skipper. We should have backed him from the beginning. And it was just an unfortunate mistake. You know, it's not the first one we've seen in this World Cup. Won't be the last one. You know, so it's a harsh way to go out. But in saying that, like I said, you know, we got one back. We got a lucky goal back. And we had the Argentina coach throwing the ball on the field, trying to waste time. We had their players diving all over the place. Things you don't typically see when Australia and Argentina play against each other. So, again, it was great to see.
And what I love about World Cups, doesn't matter what code, Alex, is about the opportunity that it gives, the exposure to some players that those around the world may not have heard of or seen before, because reading after the tournament that Grant Quayle, the young 18-year-old, has signed a contract with Newcastle and could head over there very, very soon. So the great exposure this Australian side has given its players, the World Cup, and the tenacity they've shown comes up with great results like that for young Quayle.
Look, and he's not the only one. You know, there's a few players that have recently gone overseas, a few younger players. Cammy Devlin's another one. Joel King's another one who's overseas. So we've got a lot of young players that have gone over. And I actually, look, I honestly didn't expect much from this World Cup. I didn't think we'd get out of the group. I thought they'd be a good learning experience for them. The kids, while they're now, have made that move to Europe. You know, now in the next couple of years is a big opportunity for them to get into those big leagues. And in 4 years' time, I thought we'd be a lot better for it. But I mean, they surprised everybody. They were incredible. The fight, the hunger. I mean, Arnie spoke about that Aussie spirit that we were going to show. And to be honest, we hadn't seen it throughout the whole of qualifying. So I doubt it was there.
How do we capitalize?
They fought for each other. It was incredible.
How do we capitalize now with the A-League? We've got these stars that are coming back to Australia. We start playing again this weekend. How do we get fans to the games? How do we get people watching it on television? What does Soccer Australia need to do now with the A-League to promote these players? Or what would you do, Alex? This is your opportunity. We're at fever pitch about football in this country. What do you do now if you're the A-League?
Well, you said it there, right? You promote the players. I think there's 7 or 8 players that are in the A-League that were part of that squad. Get them out there, you know, get them as much exposure as we can. Like I said, get people knowing that they're playing on the weekend, be it in Adelaide where Craig Goodwin, who scored against Argentina, is going to be playing. You know, get people going out there to see him, to watch him play. You know, this guy is a guy who scored against Argentina, and we can watch him in Adelaide every week. Grant Quayle, he's not going to Newcastle till January. You know, fans at the Mariners need to go out and see him every week until that happens. So that's how I think they capitalise on it. You know, market the guys that were there and you know, make them the heroes that they are.
Yeah, well sold. Well sold. I'm definitely going to be watching a lot more A-League after it. I've got in my blood now for the next few weeks. Graham Arnold contract situation. I need to say, Alex, I'm a huge fan of Graham Arnold, and his contract situation. Does it make sense that they've waited to see how the World Cup campaign played out?
Look, I think it's just the way it goes. If we'd gone there and been, you know, humiliated, and it had gone how it did, say, for Qatar, then yes, there's no point him having re-signed, or, you know, because things could change quickly. I think it doesn't matter whether he'd signed, not signed. It all depends on results. So I think the fact that there were a lot of people calling for his head, like you said there, I'm a big fan because I've been coached by Arnie. I've got a good relationship with him. And I think he was definitely the right man for the job. Did I expect what happened? Absolutely not. I think he's gone far and beyond that. But I'd love to see him stay. I think having spoken to him over a few years, I know how stressful it's been on him. But look, I would love to see him stay at least till the Asian Cup next year and keep guiding these young boys.
Alex, he seems a bit old school. Is that his coaching style?
He is, but he's super intelligent. You know, he knows the mind of a player. He knows how things have evolved from when he was young. Things aren't the same, you know, when he was a player to what players think, how they act now. So he's very adaptable. He knows, like I said, the inside out of how a player thinks, and he's very, very switched on with that. He knows how to get a good group. You know, he won't bring anybody in that might disrupt a good group, and that's what's so good about him.
Based on the performances so far now we're down to the final 16, but some have moved through to the quarterfinal stage. Based on performances, who raises the World Cup trophy in Alex Brock's mind?
Look, I'll have a much clearer picture after Brazil play without Neymar, if he's not yet fit. I think Brazil with Neymar fit, they lift the trophy. I thought Argentina, but, you know, getting out of the group, they weren't impressive. Against us, they weren't impressive because we didn't allow them to be. So I feel like, you know, stronger opposition potentially will run over the top of them. Look, so I think if Neymar's fit, Brazil wins it. If not, I'm going to say France.
I'm going for Japan. That's who I'm on. Right, so I've just put the kiss of death on them. They'll lose early tomorrow morning. Look, it's been a fascinating World Cup. We've all gotten up early. I mean, like you, I don't know how you're doing it every single day. Do you know what day it is? Do you know what time it is?
Well, no. You know what? I've got the flu as well, and my wife said, you know, the last time you were sick was 8 years ago when the World Cup was on. So I think this is all this weight.
Oh, we've lost
it. It just does something to the body, but it's great. I love it.
We enjoy it, mate. We'll look forward to the global game on SCN. You can listen to that via your local station or get it via the SCN app. Alex Brosk, thanks for your time, mate. Get well. We've lost his line there. It's cut out, so there you go.
He's already hung up on you.
Yeah, mate. Well, the guy must be buggered. And he kept referring to this morning as yesterday morning. Yeah, as well. Yeah.
It is important, but, you know, with Soccer Australia trying to capitalise on the excitement, all those people that were in Federation Square and King George's Square as well, and in Sydney.
Multiple sites in all states, yep. Mate. It's fascinating.
And I think that's really well sold. Goodwin was the guy that scored against one of the greatest teams in the World Cup and arguably one of the greatest players of all time, and Lionel Messi. And using the players, campaigning the players as opposed to the teams and the comp itself.
And how about this for a juicy quarterfinal, France and England?
Mm.
If those two countries don't dislike each other now, it's just going to get amazing. This is going to be – they'll block the tunnel. You realise that. You won't be able to go either way. This is Sports Day for the 7-seat Kia Sorento large SUV. We're going to get to some more sports news. Plus, we've got texts and phone calls all on the way next. This is Sports Day. Thanks to Kia.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car. They made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. We'll be back soon. Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car. They made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Welcome back to it. Monday nights. Jeez, the phones are going off. 0457 736 736 is our text line. Or you can jump on the phone, 1300 01 1170. Actually, James from Bexley has done that. James, you've got a thought on the cricket, mate, and why no one's turning up.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. I love the show. I've heard you guys over at least a week or two now ruminate over this topic, and it appears that you're not quite certain that it's because of the schedule. There's too much cricket. Look, I've just Googled the Australian cricket team's schedule over the last 12 months, and this is I'll just start going through it, and you can stop me anytime you want. This is T20s, test matches and ODIs. I'm not going to tell you what they are because it'll take too long, but have a listen to this. 19 October 21, 20 October 21, 23 October 21, 29 October 21, 31 October 21, 4 November 21, 6 November 21, 12 November 21, 15 November 21, December 8, 21, December 16, 21, December 26, 21, 5 January 22, 14 January, 11 Feb, 13 Feb, 15 Feb, 18 Feb, 20 Feb, 4 March, 12 March, 21 March, 29 March, 31 March, 2 April, 6 April, 7 June, 8
That's
June, 11 June,
it
14 June,
cricket.
16 June. You get the message, and it keeps going. It hasn't stopped, right? It hasn't stopped, guys.
So do you think this
I'm telling
is,
you, it's staring you in the face.
It's so people aren't going to the cricket because they've had enough.
Mate, there's too much. It's like, it's force feeding now. It's not special anymore.
Then you throw the BBL on top of that as well, which is a big schedule.
Yeah.
That's it. Good point. BBL,
The only thing I'll say about that, a lot of that cricket is overseas, and there's obviously a lot of one days and that thrown in, which we don't see on free-to-air, by the way.
Mm.
We don't see that
stuff.
Yeah, and not everyone has KO or Foxtel. Like they should if they don't.
Agreed.
But so not everyone is exposed to all of that. And, Satch, you're one of those people in footy season, you're not even interested in cricket.
Yeah, if the cricket's touring, I won't go out of my way to watch.
Unless it's an Ashes, right?
Yeah, if I watch highlights, absolutely, and an Ashes. But, yeah, I won't spend too much time on it.
It's an interesting thought, James. Will you go and see them in the Sydney Test?
Fitzy.
Mate, here's the other point, actually. I heard another call this afternoon. I was listening to... I don't think it was a drive home. I think it was Smitty in the afternoons. They were going on about. They were telling us about the prices for test match seats around the country, mate. It's out of the general public's affordability range. It's family tickets are really expensive, and individual tickets are ridiculous.
Well, I looked at tickets for the first day at the Gabba, against South Africa, which is a Saturday. There's tickets from $10. I've never seen, and they might be child tickets or concession. I've never seen tickets that cheap at the Gabba. And you know what I think the other thing might be happening? It might be happening here, boys, just to throw this out. They've changed the schedule. The first test should be at the Gabba last week in November. You can't get tickets normally. They're mucking it around. Like, why are we playing in Perth first?
Adelaide Test match isn't on Australia Day anymore either, is it? The Australia Day weekend.
It's going to be interesting.
Used to be Australia Day weekend, the Adelaide Test match.
James, it's going to be interesting, the Adelaide Test match, which starts on Thursday, day night, whether the South Australians turn up for that. A little bit different.
And there's nothing to do in South Australia, so they've got no excuse, right? All right, except for go put things in barrels. All right, mate, thanks for that. Fitzy from the Goldie is joining us. Fitzy, you got an opinion on the cricket.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Very good, mate.
Do you reckon Adrian give diarrhea the shit?
Oh, okay. Language. Promise me language is going to be good. Anyway, mate, enough of Adrian.
Kids. I said the pits.
I know. I love the fact he argues he's not an accountant. He's a real estate agent.
Hang on a minute, Woogie. You just say, hold on, Woogie.
Oh, he's
on. What do you want to say about the cricket?
Look, I've said this. Till I'm blue in the face. The sandpaper gate had us all off the bit and we were off them. The Ashes series, the TV show, got us back in love with them. The way Justin Langer was treated had made us fall back out of love with them. And then I think Pat Cummins's, some of the comments he's made has just further alienated the players from real Australia. Whereas you look at the soccer players, you wouldn't think they're all millionaire players playing in Europe or wherever they might be playing. They were just such humble, nice, great guys that, were genuinely upset about losing. And I thought it was a really nice touch.
Yeah, it feels as though that there's not a sense of attachment to the current cricketing players. I mean, once upon a time, we always felt this sense of attachment to the cricketing team, the national cricketing side. And when, Fitzy, when we aren't playing cricket, it seems as though the news, all that news you just mentioned, there's the test documentary, then what happened with Justin Lang and now Pat Cummins. When we have got some free air away from cricket, it's still filling the airwaves
we're talking about
like we're doing now. So it seems to be a 24-hour cycle.
And also the treatment, let's not forget the treatment of Tim Payne as well.
Yeah.
Something he was cleared on.
That's probably kicked it off.
That was more of a moral compass. That was more about people, what they thought of Tim Payne morally. They just didn't think...
But he was cleared of any wrongdoing.
Mm.
And then they named him captain.
But then, Sats, why didn't we get rid of Warnie?
Yeah.
He was playing.
Yeah. I mean, he's bigger than the game itself,
wasn't he? It's a different world now, I know, but come on. It's not that different. I just think those blokes are so removed. Remember, 11 out of 11 you'd want to go and have a beer with out of that Australian cricket team. Now, I don't think there'd be anyone I'd want to have a beer with in that team. But the soccer team, don't know most of their names, but I'd go and have a beer with everyone.
Okay, Fitzy, as a lover of Australian sport, how do How does Cricket Australia connect the Australian team back to the community? What do they need to do? Other than win games,
well,
is it an Ashes series that gets us back involved, a bit interested again?
Ashes will get us back in, but it'll be in the middle of winter and it'll be at a strange time slot, but that's all right. We'll all get up and get involved. Mate, I think just shut up and play cricket. You know what? And don't give us all the nice rhetoric when you get asked a question. Just speak from the heart and say how it is. Like, just get back to being, you know, enjoying. If you love your cricket, tell us how you love your cricket and let us fall back in love with you guys and the game. So I don't think it's too much cricket. I think, one, the cricket's too expensive to go to. Me and my mates used to go for 5 days of the Adelaide Test, fly down every year. Now, $100 a day, no thanks.
There's a really good text that's just come. Really good text, and this is how I feel. David Tweed, guys, the cricket team aren't ours anymore. And we've said this all along, Sats. Yeah. It's our team. It's actually not your team, Pat Cummins. It's our team. They are their own. They are their own. So that's why we aren't attached anymore to them, as they have made themselves a commodity, and Green Pat only adds to the issue. That's David Tweed. Anyway, everyone's got an opinion. All right, mate. Thanks.
Hey, boys. Just
no more swearing, Fitzy.
Just quickly, sorry.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No, I won't swear, I promise. Now, I know Joel and Big Head give it to you when they get on each week and they've always got something up their sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
Go back and find when Joel interviewed Justin Langer. Oh, my God. It is one of the biggest suck-up radio interviews ever.
Mate.
He had bagged him for months.
Yeah.
And he got him on. He goes, oh, JL, I had a poster of you on the wall as a kid.
Dollar one. That was always going to happen with Sugar.
What a tool.
I nearly crashed my car on the N1.
Yeah.
Mate, he's probably crashing his car as he's going through the Macca's drive through on the way home now as we speak. Rightio, Fitzy,
we will find that. Voice and play it back to him.
We will find that. Thanks, mate. Thanks for your call.
Fitzy's too smart for our show.
Yeah, I know. Too smart. I know. Wish we had more Fitzy's, less Adrian's.
You can't say that.
What?
Oh, you just can't say it.
Well, what? Look at the text coming through. 0457 736 736. Keep your texts coming through, or you can give us a call like
did
Fitzy.
You say keep your texts?
Yes, I did. It's not. I know. Hey, welcome to Texas. It wasn't even a Texan accent either, was it? It's a bad day today. 1300 01 1170 is our phone number. Craig from Maitland, Cricket Australia don't realise they are the problem. Gutless CEO and the head office are to blame. That's what Craig says.
I thought Cricket Australia handled the moving of Justin Langer really poorly. They could have done it cleaner. They could have said leading into the T20 and the Ashes, you've done a great job for us, but at the end of the Ashes series, we're going to move on, but we're going to keep in some capacity. And I think they failed Australian cricket by not doing that.
There was only one bloke in that whole team that actually thanked him.
Hey, Justin. Yeah, thanks for having me.
And that's that wasn't good either, was it? I'm struggling today, aren't I?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to a break. Thanks to Kia.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. We'll be back soon. Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Welcome back to the show. Sats and JC for your Monday night. Plenty going on. Boy, the text machine blowing up. Stream every NFL game this season live on NFL Game Pass. Visit NFLGamePass.com. Both our teams won today, Green Bay and Dallas.
Beat Chicago, which they do every year.
We beat the Colts. Slaughtered the Colts, 50-something to 19. So let's get to text. A lot of people still having their say on cricket and also the Socceroos Sats.
We're going to Sats. I bet the Socceroos don't white ant and knife Graham Arnold, Rooster Muzz.
You're saying that.
What's that?
You were saying that before. Was that on the air or off the air? I can't remember now. Yeah, you were saying that even if Graham Arnold's not the right man, wouldn't it be nice to put him into a coaching type director role?
Well, this is the scenario that possibly Soccer Australia is going to be confronted with. There's a lot of critics who are believing that Graham Arnold shouldn't be the coach. I believe he should have been because I just know what a sort of attributes he's got, the effect that he has on a playing group. But they're getting to the point now that results say that this is the most successful Australian side at a World Cup. But do they continue with Graham Arnold, like Alex Bross was saying, through the Asia Cup? And after that, do they say, well, we want to put you in a more senior role and we bring another coach in and you work together? Something like a coaching coordinator, whatever it may be. they're in the same situation as what Cricket Australia were with Justin Langer, and I hope they handle it better.
Yeah. Sporty Gav's made a good point here. Disappointed with Matty Ryan's goalkeeping howler to give us Argentina a 2-0 lead. It was like a kick in the guts. Good fight back from Graham Arnold's men to just miss out on the equaliser. Harry Suter is my favourite of the player of the tournament for Australia. That's from Sporty Gav in Newcastle.
Graham Arnold, what he did with Harry Suter, which a lot of clubs in the EPL do and the A-League, is because he's so tall, they wanted to get him up in near the goals just because he's 6'6" or whatever he is and be able to get some contact with the head, whatever it may be. Moved him from the defensive line up into the forward line, and it was a really good bit of a masterstroke from Graham Arnold, and he was able to adapt on the run and make some really big decisions based on desperate moments.
Evening, lads. Regarding the Soccer World Cup, the last time I watched this much SBS TV, I was a young boy sneaking a peek at those late-night world movies.
Mm.
Cheers, Jace.
I think we all did that, Jace.
Nah, every time I tune in, it was like basket weaving in Peru. Like, I got the wrong night.
Yeah, but what were they weaving the baskets? What they dressed in?
Well, they were topless.
Yep. Now, Miko from Toowoomba, love Toowoomba. My wife was in Toowoomba today.
Was she?
First time ever. Boys, yes,
what?
I believe. Yeah, never been to Toowoomba.
It's a great place.
I love it. Absolutely love it. Boys, yes, I believe the current crop of Australian cricketers have become too off with the general public. But maybe the cost of living, Christmas coming, they might be saving their coin for the big bash costs. A lot to take the family out to. Yeah, it is a lot more family friendly, isn't it, the big bash?
I want to try and get, actually, we know what the crowd figures are. I haven't seen them. I'm going to go searching for the TV numbers.
Yep.
See whether people were watching it or not.
Mm.
Can I just say, too, by the way, Channel 7's coverage, the times that I did watch, I thought Channel 7's coverage of the first test was really good.
Can I say Justin Langer?
Yeah.
Really good commentator.
Yeah.
His pieces to camera where it was just both he looking down the barrel, it was really good.
And Trent Copeland's bowling analysis is spot on.
He's
as
always
well.
Been good, yeah.
Yeah. No, very good. And punter, I reckon punter's the best commentator in cricket right now. Very good. One more, Sats.
Rab Gaz says, Adrian has a great mind and speaks from the heart. We need more like him. I agree. Rab Gaz.
Who wrote that?
Rab Gaz.
That's Adrian's
768.
Number. That's Adrian's number. Mystery man, it's woke BS, boys. That's what it is regarding the Australian cricket team. There you have it. Keep your text coming through. 0457 736 736. Or 1300 01 1170. We're going to go to break. When we come back, more of Sports Day, including Joel and Fetch coming up.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. We'll be back soon. Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Well, welcome to the second big hour of the show. Sats and Jace here for the next 3 weeks. Badge is on holidays. Yep, he worked a month and now has 3 weeks off. That means we're taking you through to Christmas. So do we have to buy a present or should we just chip in and get Jack one?
To say you and I?
Yeah.
But he's going over to Ireland, what, in, is it February?
Yeah.
So do we buy him two presents? Do we have to buy him a Christmas present and a farewell present?
Because he's leaving us, he gets nothing. I've got some TV ratings, free to wear, by the way, for...
Oh, here we go, listeners. He loves his TV ratings.
I'm not going to do
like
them now.
Like, people I'm not gonna really do them care. But no. Anyway, go for it.
No. Joel and Fletch coming out real soon on the show. They'll do their usual hilarity.
Now, can you tell me
and
how
your
many...
your texts on 0457 736 736. Thanks to our great mates at McDonald Jones Homes and their birthday sale. Which
how many
now.
Australians watched the cricket?
No, you're just going to take the
channel,
P1
Channel 7 or is that KO
well,
as well?
What's free to air, Scott?
Well, I'm asking you. So obviously
I
you're
told
saying
you
it's
free
only
to
Channel
air.
7. Okay.
It came in day two, session three, came in eighth. What did it
can
get?
Can you tell me what day three, session four came in at?
We've got Martin, who's on the line from Seaforth. Hello, Martin. How are you, mate?
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are you going?
Good, good, good. Now, listen, you've sent us a text. We thought we've got to get you on the phone on this. You've just gotten back from Qatar. It was your fourth World Cup, and you reckon it was the best.
Yeah, best by far. I mean, it had a bad rap, but the as a spectator, it was fantastically organised. The transport was really easy. Getting in and out the grounds was fantastic. The stadiums were air-conditioned. It was an amazing experience, and I think they, you know, someone should say they've done a good job, and I believe they did.
Craziest supporters, fans that you saw over there, Martin?
The Tunisians. We were in the crowd in the Tunisian game, and we were just surrounded by red, and they just sang and sang and sang, and then we scored, and then suddenly they got a bit quiet. So I mean, they were sort of crazy, really. There was a lot of them, so they were really up for it, but unfortunately they didn't make it through.
Your accommodation. Were you staying in one of the shipping containers with sewage leaking, or did you have a tent in the desert? This is how bad we're hearing it is.
No. We had an apartment, actually. I went with three mates, and we had two-bedroom apartments. I went with the Green and Gold Army. I was with Simon Hill and John Cosmina and all those guys in our group. And no, I can't complain about accommodation. It was really good. I mean, we did see Tent City as well, so I can't speak for their experience, but I can speak for mine, and it was really good, actually.
So you're saying it's your fourth World Cup. What were the other three to compare it to?
Well, I went to Germany in 2006, then South Africa in 2010, and then I went to Brazil in 2014, and I missed Russia.
Hang on a second.
Wait.
Qatar is better than Brazil World
what?
Cup.
Well, I can tell. When I went to Brazil, I had 21 flights in 19 days, right? So you can imagine, it's great, the environment's fantastic, but just the strain of travel was just enormous. In Qatar, you was an hour from every single stadium, you know, so it was so easy to get around. The metro was fantastic. The bus service was fantastic. So as a spectator to watch an event, it was really easy. I mean, Brazil was a fantastic country and we had a great time, but just getting to grounds was enormous.
Can you confirm nor deny that while in Brazil, did you go to a beach party and wear said G-string?
I stayed on Ipanema Beach, and the world comes past you, and there is some great sights. All I can say on that.
Right, yeah.
It's unbelievable.
And in Brazil, did you eat nuts? Because you can't call them Brazil nuts over there. They're just nuts.
Yeah, they're just nuts. Yeah, well, great question, Woogie. No, I didn't eat any nuts there.
Right.
I just drank plenty of Caprini, or whatever they call the cocktails they had there.
Right, okay. See,
did you eat any food?
Yeah,
sort of.
Yeah, like a goanna or something. I don't know. What's that lizard they have over there? Iguana.
No, you go to, in Brazil, you go to these restaurants and they just keep feeding you up with meat. And until you say no, they just
Brazilian
keep bringing
barbecue.
Your steak up.
So good.
Is that a real thing?
Oh, so good.
Oh, it's sensational. I went to one in Qatar as well, actually. So,
did you?
Yeah, and it was the same. Yeah,
Okay.
It was a good trip.
You know we've run out of questions, Martin, when we start asking about, we're quoting The Simpsons.
About whether you've eaten some
Yeah,
some
we're
nuts.
Quoting The Simpsons, yeah, and we're talking about Brazilian barbecue. Yeah. But anyway, we'll let you go.
Thanks, Martin.
Mate, that's really good to hear, because we've certainly heard a lot of negatives, but from a couple of people we know have been there, have said it's actually been very, very good. So thanks for your call, mate. Thanks for listening.
No worries, boys. Thank you.
There you go. There's Martin from Seaforth. Just come back from Qatar. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Better than Brazil, though. Come on.
Yeah. Maybe a different phase of his life now. And is it because Australia were the best they've ever been? Is that?
But there's a Jesus statue in Brazil. How can you not like that?
Yep.
Like, seriously.
Anyway. And nude beach volleyball as well.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine? What's that main beach in Brazil called? You know the one? Was that the one? The one you talked about?
Yep.
Send us your texts. 0457 736 736 is our number. If you want to shoot us a text about anything tonight, plenty going off. People going off about Australian cricket and Adrian. Which ones do you want to read out?
Now, we've got Shane at Coffs says, in my opinion, the 20-over format of cricket has been a big influence in the decline of the cricket itself. The IPL has a lot to answer for. A quick fix, money grab, test match and 50-over was cricket at its best.
I agree. I think it's coming back to kill us. And here's the thing. You've got all these, I mean, 2020 cricket's designed for the younger viewer, right? I don't know if it's millennials or Gen Ys or whatever to get them to concentrate on cricket. But I think in doing all that, you're kind of alienating your main customer, who are people 35, 40 over, who are becoming disenchanted with cricket in this country. Oh, maybe that's a thing. I'm not sure. Mind you, having said that, I like 10-10 or that 100.
No.
Have you seen the 100?
No.
Mate.
We don't need it.
The 100 kill. I reckon scrap 2020 and play the 100. I like it.
I think we play a T20 World Cup every 4 years. That's the only time we play T20 other than the Big Bash.
Okay.
Mm.
And you got to pick the players from Sheffield Shield.
Once we used to, didn't we?
We used to. Remember the when Aussie captains used to play Sheffield Shield?
Yeah.
It was amazing. What else is there? Woogie, I bet when Sats got his Origin plays gear, he couldn't wait to don said gear and strutty stuff. Is that true? Is that when, because you wore a singlet once to go and pick up a card?
Allegedly. Allegedly.
The accountant is a peanut. Warner didn't kill anyone. Dunny's time. Obviously a Parramatta supporter. That's from BDM Choz.
Now, Alan Edmondson says, hi, guys. Warner was always the issue with Sandpapergate. Smith's naivety got him on board. Clearly, Smith is our best captain option. And I agree. I think he still is outside of Pat Cummins. Some may say that he should be the captain instead of Pat Cummins.
You're right.
Matt Cummins.
There's too many P's.
Matt Cummins.
But it was the Adelaide test when Pat Cummins had COVID. Remember, he had to hire that private jet to get home because he's a climate warrior. So he got that private jet to go back to New South Wales because he had COVID. Steve Smith captained that test match. So he has captained since he's been, you know, since he has the whole, you know, sandpaper gate. So I think it's already been announced, or it's just ticking a box that Steve Smith will captain Australia on Thursday. Good to see that. And then let's work out, and I was never a fan of Dave Warner, but let's come on. Enough's enough. The bloke served his time. He's still serving Cricket Australia quite well. Why aren't we giving him the opportunity to have any leadership? And it's ridiculous.
Well, we don't need to announce whether he's back into a leadership.
Just allow it to happen.
And it happens organically anyway, so there doesn't need to be any big press release.
Let me ask you this about announcements. Yep. Matt Cooper going off on social media again saying, I don't want to ruin the party. There was a reunion of the 2010 grand final winning side.
Yeah, this is an intriguing one.
He decided not to go because there's some people there that had nothing to do with that win.
Yep.
I don't want to make a big deal of it, but he then gets on Twitter and has a crack at people about this.
Yeah, Matty Cooper's been very critical of his former club. You know, 250 games. One of the great players, mind you. One of the great modern-day defensive players, Matty Cooper. And he's been quite critical of the Dragons moving forward. And obviously has left a bit of taste in his mouth from when he retired. Interesting enough to go on Twitter and explain to the people, the fans, why he didn't go to their 10-year reunion, which is a 12-year because of COVID. It's baffling why he tried to bring the attention upon himself like that. He says he's going to reveal more in the new year when the rugby league shows open up and he can give more content. I'm a little bit disappointed, to be quite honest. The reasons being, like you said, a former CEO was going to be there and a player who did not even play in the game were going to be there as well. You know, if there's a player that's part of a first grade squad that is part of a team that wins the comp in 2010, for example, even if they play one minute of that year, they should be invited to reunions. We have a get-together every year, the 2003 side. We invite every player that played 1 second that year, and so they should. Now, Peter Doust, from all reports, is the CEO that he alludes to, and it's around a job that was potentially offered to him upon retirement. Now, you know, that's a salary cap offence as well, you know, and the clubs have got to make decisions based on that. And players don't understand salary caps when you're playing. Okay, all you know is what your manager tells you and how much you can get paid. So for Matty Cooper, I would like to say, you know, we've all been there upon retirement or getting close to the end of our careers where we possibly get promised something and it doesn't come to fruition. We've just got to get over it. And we've got to stop trying to destabilise the club that you serve so proudly. Try and come up with solutions on how you can be successful again. And by going on Twitter and trying to slander the club again, I don't think it's the right way forward.
Oh, good word, Sats. I agree, you know, particularly when you say, you know, I didn't want to make a big deal of it. Well, you have.
I want Matty Cooper to be excited about the club that he serves so proudly. I want him to be able to go to, you know, Jubilee, or whether it's in Wollongong or in Sydney, and feel really excited about the club and the prospects of the club. You know, the last thing any club needs is old boys trying to drag it down. As I said earlier on, probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Jase, you know, old boys can be white ants and really bad for the club, or they can really stabilise a club and celebrate the history of the club with the current playing group.
Yeah, Fitzy agrees with us. Matty Cooper didn't want to make a scene whilst making a scene. It just doesn't make sense. 0457 736 736 is our text, thanks to McDonald Jones Homes. Or you can call us 1300 01 11 70. Brendan from Brisbane is on the line. Brendan, you have got some thoughts on Smithy and leadership.
Yeah, this makes me laugh. Leadership 101 says that you're the one that does the influencing, and yet everyone keeps blaming Warner for being the biggest problem in all of it. Yet he was able to get Smith to do what he wanted, right? So who was the better leader? Now, they weren't a better leader for good, but they were certainly the better leader in the room.
Yeah. And for those who don't remember, Warner was the vice captain at the time, wasn't he?
100%. And yet everyone, he's copped the blame for everything. Now, again, Leadership 101 says the buck stops at the top, and yet somehow it stopped one up from the top. He cops all the blame, and yet the very bloke who everyone's saying is the better leader, and I'm not saying he is or isn't, I'm just saying at that point in time, he wasn't. The guy who got him to do it, if he got him to do it, I'm still not convinced, is the better leader. Everyone's going to have to just take a chill pill. I agree with what you said before. He's done his time. Give the guy a break. Everyone makes mistakes. Anyone that hasn't can throw stones at their glass house, as far as I'm concerned, and we move on. But he wasn't the better leader in the room, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, probably proved that David Warner was a far more aggressive leader, or if you want to call him a leader, a more aggressive competitor, whereas Steve Smith at the time was probably more of a placid leader, just to lead by example and small talk with his teammates. But I think from the whole occasion, I think Smith has learnt more about himself as a leader moving forward. And I think that's why he'd be a good leader again.
Brendan?
Oh, I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
All right, Brendan.
I think he'll make a great leader.
Yeah. Brendan, thanks for your call, mate. Good to have you listening in Brizzy. He's gone. Hey, here's another text. Here's the other side of it, right? It's a hot debate. Tim, who doesn't freeze meat from parks. Hey, lad's got to chime in here. Dave Warner should never, I repeat, never be allowed to be in a leadership role in Australian cricket. We all know he masterminded Sandpaper Gate. Well, we don't all know that. And obviously he manipulated Cameron Bancroft into carrying it out. Again, I don't buy that either. I'm sorry.
We don't know whether Cameron Bancroft put his hand up and said, you know what, guys?
We don't know.
I'm willing to do it. And we don't know.
And we're not making that allegation.
No, absolutely. We just don't know the finer details of it all.
People assume because he was his opening batting partner that he did all this. We don't know what actually happened. On top of everything, including his form of late, I think he should be dropped and swept under the carpet and let another young, fresh, uncorrupted young man come through who loves the game and not willing to cheat. Well, I don't think for a minute Dave Warner is corrupted. That's certainly not our thoughts, but it's an interesting angle on this. I don't know why people are so, and again, I think everyone should have done their time. But why is everyone willing to forgive Steve Smith? They already have. He's already captained Australia again, but not Dave Warner.
Yeah,
why does the captain get away with it and the vice captain doesn't?
Maybe it's a form thing. Maybe while he's struggling, he has been easily to pile on.
But is it also the fact that, and someone mentioned it earlier, is it because Steve Smith showed so much remorse and Dave Warner didn't? It's like Dave went into PR mode.
Yeah, you know, he did go into PR mode, but...
But that's probably his way of handling it, right?
He was very remorseful. You just had to look at the images of Dave Warner, like openly crying about the decision and the situation they were in, and I think a lot of people would be much the same. But I think you are right. I think you hit the nail on the head. He did go into PR mode. His wife Candace Warner in the press conference that day with a public relations manager as well, what's her name? The one that was in all the reality shows? Roxy Jasenko.
One with the lips.
Yeah, so it was all about PR, and unfortunately it wasn't handled correctly. So, and Steve Smith, I think we've always had a bit of a soft spot for Steve Smith as well because he's been, you know, I suppose religiously, one of our better batters as well, and just seems to be a guy that cricket fans can connect with a little bit easier.
Get involved. 0457 736 736 or 1300 01 1170. We've got Joel and Fletch coming up real soon, by the way, from the run home. We'll have a chat to them. Jobs at Robson Civil Projects, jobs at robsoncivil.com.au. World Cup results very quickly. Got to go to break. Overnight, England beat Senegal 3-0 and France beat Poland 3-1. Sets up a juicy...
They won't have a stadium big enough
to hold those two
if they could
in.
If they could expand it, they would.
I can just imagine... And you know what? I'm going to go for France in this because I like their food better.
No, you were boycotting them a few days ago, as we're going to talk about with Joel and Fletch.
60 years of family culture. Join the Robson Civil Projects team for the opportunity of a lifetime. If you want the cricket ratings, let me know and I'll send them to you all individually. This is Sports Day. Thanks to Kia.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. We'll be back soon. Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Yeah, welcome back to Sports Day. Badge and Sats and Jace here for 3 weeks. Badge is on holidays, although I won't be in tomorrow night. I won't be here.
We've just decided that I'm not only going to host the show, I'm going to deliver content gold.
I'm not coming
and
in.
Jack is going to do the panel.
I'm sick of the crap from you and Jack, so I'm not coming in. How's that sound?
Sounds fine.
Hey, lads, here's a thought. Oh, I'm serious. I'm not coming in.
No, I'm serious also. You don't have to be here.
And you guys can just talk about great rugby league moments and soccer. Because it's not football either. I'm sick of people saying football.
It's football.
They're called the Socceroos, mate. Football Australia. Shut up, Jack. Hey, lads, here's a thought. Why don't we drop all the New South Wales cricketers? We don't like the football side. We don't like their cricketers. It just makes us bad. Oh, that's just a stupid text.
Wow. Wow. Way to polarise the listeners.
Well, that doesn't even make sense.
Okay. Here's Leo talking about crowd viewership, broadcasting. Do you think the broadcasting from Channel 9 to 7 plays a role in crowd numbers? Forget we had... Channel 9 created a brand for those who watch their favourite commentary. That's a really good point, actually, from Leo. We had this Channel 9 commentary team for decades that we felt connected to and then transcended into the side as well.
Yeah.
Is it like a sports man or woman taking over from one of the greats?
I agree.
People tend to lose interest.
Last Christmas Day, after a couple of shandies, we went and listened to the 12th man take off. The commentators from the 9 commentary team was great.
Channel 7 doesn't have that Channel 9 stigma. Your thoughts, Leo? Leo, I think you make a really good point. I think it's not just one area that we feel disconnected. We feel disconnected probably with cricket in general because Richie and Bill and Tony Gregg and co aren't there.
And this year, geez, I miss Warnie and I miss Roy. I think I said this last week. Just their characters, personality.
Mm.
That's why JL was refreshing, wasn't he, in the commentary docs?
Both he and Ian Bishop, outstanding.
Very good.
Yep.
Hey, lads, Warner got a life band. Did Smith? I can't remember. Maybe that's the difference. You should get Matty Cooper on the show, if not to clarify the latest talk. But he would have some great stories. That's from St. Boyd. Yeah. Are you mates with Matty?
No, I'm not. I've only met him once or twice, but having a lot to do with Matty Cooper. As I said, tremendous player, and from all reports, a great guy as well.
Tim, who doesn't freeze meat from Parks,
yep,
says, "Hey lads, it's because Dave Warner's whole persona rubs people the wrong way. Even before Sandpaper Gate, Dave Warner was always on the nose and people." Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. But having heard comments from Tim Payne, he feels he was harshly dealt by Cricket Australia, hence some of his frustration. Dave Warner, yeah, because he was one of the players pushing for that pay resolution.
Mm.
So, evening fellas, Aussie Joe Public, don't like cheats, sly foxes, money-hungry players. I burned off the Aussie cricket team for ages. Complete disconnection. Andy D from Brisbane.
And that's the one word, disconnect. That's where I feel as though a lot of Australian cricketing fans, they feel the same. For some reason, we don't feel as though that we can just reach out and touch the Australian team. They always used to be so accessible, but they don't seem to be so much of late, probably the last few years.
Oh, that changed when Tim Payne and Justin Langer were in there. I mean, you see the players hanging around for ages signing autographs and all that.
Mm.
When they did that tour in August and they went up to Cairns and Townsville.
Yep.
They didn't do any cricket clinics or anything, particularly in Townsville. Nothing. Did nothing with the public.
I know, yeah.
But they went to the rugby league.
Yeah, disappointing.
And they used COVID as an excuse not to do things, and they went to the footy with 20,000 people.
Will from Randwick. G'day, boys. Adrian says what other people think. I like his comments. I could have a beer with him at the Dog in Randwick.
Well, we'll put you in touch and go and have a beer with him then.
I'd have a beer with Adrian.
I wouldn't. And because he's an accountant, he wouldn't shout.
During the rugby league season, I'm going to call for a Sats's shout at the Greenwood in North Sydney.
What?
I'm going to invite Adrian, Will from Randwick, Glenn, the Reality King, Danger will fly down from Cairns, Steve, he'll come in from Dubbo.
It's like the whack pack. Seriously. You're going to have a beer with all of them.
Absolutely I will. And anyone else that wants to come as well.
Oh, God. You're going to invite Tim from Parks?
Who doesn't freeze his meat?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Give him a frozen steak, see if he can tell the difference. Well, no, cook it, I mean. No interest in selfish millionaire virtue signalling sportsmen and cricketers fit that. That's from John. There is so much hatred. Well, not hatred, dislike.
Mm.
It's going to be interesting.
Now I'm Matt Cooper, ending in 651, phone number. Matt Cooper smells like a book coming. He doesn't want to reveal too much until the new year. I'm led to believe 651 that, as I said earlier on, he's now sort of disclosed that he's going to wait till the rugby league season starts and a lot of the rugby league magazine shows are back on air, like your NRL 360s and
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, we've got to get to a break. Joel and Fletch standing by. This is Sports Day. Thanks to Kia.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle, Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. We'll be back soon. The 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's most awarded large SUV ever. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Been a big weekend in sport. Let's catch up with the boys from the run home. Joel and Fletch, hello lads.
Boys, What did you think? I know, did you get up and watch it? Please tell me you got up and watched the Socceroos.
Yes.
Woogie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did, yeah. I got up for the 1 a.m. 2 a.m. game your time as well.
Oh, okay. Our time. It's an hour away, but were you just been frothing on the World Cup?
Yeah, well, have.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of our former colleagues, Benny Jones, who went over there just for a bit of a trip, and so we caught up with him a couple of times to get his take on what's going on over there. It was a weird place from all by the sounds of it, but I've enjoyed it. I thought that performance on the weekend against Argentina was outstanding, wasn't it?
We were just saying, look, you could tell we just don't have that skill, but I thought we look a lot fitter.
Yes,
yeah. Like the back end of that second half, like the hands on hips by the Argentinians. I think our fitness was definitely one of our strengths.
It's brutal the fitness you need, isn't it?
And they're not big people, but the amount of running they have to do.
I wonder, would you run a lot more in that game than AFL?
Yes. I would say yes.
I reckon the AFL.
I reckon the referee does more running.
Well, the AFL you're doing anywhere from, about 14 to 20 kilometres per game. Some of those guys that are always on the go.
Yeah, end to end.
That's 2 hours, though. That's over 2 hours.
I'd
love to, just speaking about the AFL, I'd love to just one off season, just say to Latrell Mitchell, Latrell, go and train with the Swans for 3 months.
Shut up, Joel. We don't want that happening.
No, not to play.
Yeah, but what if he gets injured?
Mate.
Are you saying he's
doing
fat?
Anything? No, I'm saying that he could represent super, super fit Latrell and he would be impossible to stop.
Well, can I tell you this? Mm. 1 year we trained, or one session I should say, we trained with the Swans and we also trained with some boxers.
Yes.
And what had happened? It was just a one session. It was we're getting flogged. But we mixed everything up. So you had to do your Swans 100-metre sprints, then the 250 runs, and they flogged us on that.
Yep.
Then we had to do the up and downs.
Mm-hmm.
We smashed them on that. Up and down and wrestle, and then combine all three. Boxers won.
Really?
Boxers won, hands down. So the Swannies, terrific at running, but they were legless at getting up off the ground.
That's the contact. Yeah.
Yeah, they couldn't handle it.
I tell you, I came back in after 2004 from Salford. Those pork chops had ripped me off Radisson Main. So I was going to tools down. And I was, the only training I was doing, right, was, and I was never the fittest player in the team, but the only training I was doing was with the Cronulla touch side, the open side, right?
Sure, it was the Mermaids.
No. No. And
Darren Shelley and Co.
Tim Sheens. Yeah, Darren Shelley. Hello to JB out there. Tim Sheens had the Tigers just by coincidence out on the sand hills, and I was doing some sand hills. Mm. And he said, come and join the boys. And I flogged the boys.
Yeah.
And that.
How'd you go on fitness, though?
But, mate, it's the reason I bring this up is they don't let their players do
no.
it.
Mm.
It's the very best fitness you can get for
them. They were raucous, those Wanda Sandhills.
Oh, how bad were they?
Oh, I've never vomited so much in my life on those things.
We had to do one, and people don't believe me, where you had to get your similar position and you had to carry him up on your back like fireman's carry.
Oh, yeah.
That was – Scotty Petherbridge collapsed. Like literally collapsed and just didn't get up.
Scotty Petherbridge.
Hey, talk about
– South.
Yeah. Talk about cross codes. Is there a player you guys played with that could have gone and played AFL? Like, I've always believed, you know, there's still a room for the small man in the game. You know, like Paul Kelly was my favourite player, played for the Swans. Mm. And I thought Preston could have played. Preston Campbell could have played. Yeah.
AFL?
AFL, yeah.
Andrew Walker.
Oh, Unk.
Andrew Walker could have played AFL easily.
Corey Pearson.
Corey Pearson.
No, I tell you what about Corey Pearson. I was joking about AFL, but he could. He's a sportsman. I think he played first grade cricket.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Pearson.
Baby steps. We used to call him baby steps.
Eggshells. Yeah.
Here comes baby steps.
Yes, boys. Now we've been talking all things. We've been talking all things World Cup. What did you guys think about? What did you think, Brian, about the French team resting their players?
Yeah, I thought it was smart because you know they were guaranteed to go to the next round of 16.
Mm.
They are one of the favourites.
Yes.
I have no issue because I like the French.
Yes.
My brother-in-law's French.
Oh, right.
I love anything to do with French. I love a baguette. I love a croissant. But I know you're going with this because it's now time for this. So no articles this week. We're going straight to the audio. Sugar asked me what did I think of the French resting a few players. Well, Woogie had his take on it and he came up with this beauty.
I'm not eating French onion dip this weekend.
You can do what you want.
Sorry. Play that again, please, Marco.
I'm not eating French onion dip this weekend.
One more, please, Marco.
One more.
Yeah.
I'm not eating French onion dip this weekend.
So I can understand why you wouldn't do that.
So funny.
Woogie, you better cut. Freudian slip? I think not.
Yeah. Oh, I was just getting carried away at the dogs, the greyhounds on Thursday night.
Because he wanted to protest. He wanted to protest everything French. I mean, everything French.
I said no croissants.
Yeah. Oh, so funny.
So you were upset. You were upset. Oh, excuse me.
What are you choking on?
I just had a French onion dip. It's me.
Straight to the delicacy. Oh,
hang on, he's leaving now. See you, Henri.
Oh, no.
So
good.
Was he, Woogie, were you upset because you knew that we needed to win against Emma? Is that what you were? That's what you were upset about?
I thought the French had done everything to knock us out of the World Cup. That was mine.
That was your take on it.
Yeah.
And what else? Have you done anything else? Have you?
No.
Have you given up French kissing this week?
Jeez, I can't remember the last time Mrs. and I kissed. Yes, I have. Yeah, that one's gone.
What else?
I gave up croissants this weekend.
Good.
And watching any Gerard Jippo do movies.
Yes. So I've stopped watching SBS movies as well.
Yeah, what about your favourite? Filo of Fish. that's French.
Oh, God.
Oh, so good.
I knew that would come back.
Yeah. Are you going to blame Jack? Jack's the one that got that audio.
He's a jerk.
Yeah.
Now, we like Jack.
Yeah, we love Jack.
Oh, well done, Jackie boy. What else, boys?
Hey, what do you make of the so Thai temple left without any monks after they all failed drug tests? Four monks, including the head of the monastery, were forced to leave the monkhood. Sorry, not the monkhood.
Hang on. Yeah. What is it with you two?
After their urine test showed evidence of illegal drugs. It was reported to be meth.
Yeah. What? The monks on the meth.
What's going
monks
up on in those meth. Temples?
Not man of match anymore, monks on meth.
Yeah.
Well, this is what happened on A Current Affair when my favourite monk was caught at Sexyland. Remember, Sexyland was like an adult sex shop?
My
favourite two episodes, Kamal
and
Sexy Monk. That's what it was called.
Current Affair.
But I think, so maybe they've just realised that the monks, because you know you can't talk and you've got to just go into this hectic meditation. They're probably just thinking, well, we've done all this, let's... Let's go and get on the gravel.
It's just all ripped off their heads.
Sounds of it.
Yeah.
No, it is bad.
Hey, what about the cricket? Yeah, what about the crowds at the cricket?
Disappointing.
40,000 over the whole.
Yeah. Disappointing. I heard you coming into the studio. I heard you talking about the Adelaide Test, which is a day night, a little bit more exciting. And
yes.
And you're talking about people getting kicked out, like Jason Taylor at the SCG that day. What teammate of yours, if you woke up next morning and saw some footage on Today's Show, whatever it may be, that a NRL player has been kicked out of the cricket, which teammate would it be?
Craig Gower.
Again.
Craig Gower. Yeah.
Craig Gower, $1.01.
Yep. Yeah, true.
Joey.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Joey, definitely.
Yeah.
Myself, maybe.
Oh. You're
out of a corporate box.
You're in the Gower. Ah,
Chrissy Walker. No, I'm not in the Gowie market.
Oh, I've got chips, and they're just going all in. Has Sailor.
Oh, yeah.
You throw him up all the time. Was he just a loose unit, is he?
Mate, he was good fun. He's just good fun. He's, you know when you get people that are just good energy to be around?
Yeah.
He's just one of those blokes.
Yeah.
Any more surveys, Sats?
Yeah, no. Oh, Woogie bought a car. He bought it about 9 months ago.
Oh, mate, why?
He bought a car, and he bought it from a supermarket.
I didn't.
No. You know when you go to supermarkets and there's like a shop front that has got no one's leased it out, so they go to a car company and they say, just throw your cars in here that no one's heard of, and it gets 200 kilometres per charge.
Oh, you're an idiot.
The only reason I knew today that he got his new car over the weekend, I followed the extension cord into the office. It's embarrassing.
You're an idiot.
So how long does it take to charge?
Oh, 3 days.
There's three different ways you can charge. But if you do it does not. Fast charge, about an hour from zero to full, and there's other. It goes back from there.
Do you think we'll all be, within 5 years, we'll all have EVs?
No.
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 No, I don't think so.
10?
No, I don't think it'll ever, all be EVs. But, mate, the country is just too big to, drive electric cars around. You know, it's not like Europe where everyone's on top of each other. You've got short distances, but I don't know. The uptake on EVs has been slow already, so I don't know.
They are quite expensive. Boys, what did you make of the great Queenslander Cameron Smith, the golfer, missing the cut?
I know.
He said he was at the pub for a little bit.
He was at the races too.
Yeah, he said, I was at the pub for a little bit longer than I should.
Mm.
People have been hammering him, saying, this is what happens when you're getting paid too much money. But fair enough, he's had a big year.
What about on the shoulder of his mates at the Brecky Creek Hotel watching a replay?
Awesome, beautiful. Watching the part.
Play on. Yeah.
That is good.
Well, what about the Australian cricketers going to the pub after the test to celebrate yesterday?
Mm.
They want to mix amongst their supporters and be more normal. So they go to a pub. They sent a photo. Mitch Stark sent a photo to a colleague of ours. Go, look. We're doing what you said. We're in the pub. We're being normal. There's no one there with them. They're in a private room out the back.
Mm.
What's the point?
Bay Murray. Yeah.
I think you're off the bit about these cricketers, Woogie. Am I sensing that?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, you're right.
Mate, you can buy a ticket for the first day of the Gabba test against South Africa, which is a Saturday, $10.
He's been banging on about this for a couple of weeks now.
When have you ever seen tickets that cheap to the cricket?
Okay, what's the main reason? Is there too much cricket?
I think it's the opposition too.
the opposition.
Well, South Africa are good, Fletch.
That's what, I mean, well, wait until we see this crowd, the crowd for South Africa. No doubt the Sydney Test will be chockers. They won.
How likeable is this team? That's been some of the feedback. So what's the reason why we're having such a poor turnout?
Well, they're saying that it's because of what they did to Langer. I don't think it is. I think, one, there is too much cricket.
Yep.
Two, it was on a Wednesday.
Yes.
People are obviously working. And three, the opposition.
I don't reckon the Wednesday. Like, how many years have we seen things midweek and people get days off work to go to those games? I don't think the midweek's a cop-out.
Well, no one's on holidays because it always used to be the Brisbane.
But day one at the Gabba used to be the end of November. It was a Thursday. No one on holidays then. Yeah. They're on the nose. They are on the nose. And, like, our listeners text us and call us every night, don't they, Sats?
Yeah.
And they go, we won't be watching. We're sick of the wokeism and all this sort of stuff. So I just think they've got an image issue.
Okay. Well, how do we fix it?
I don't know. They've got to start hanging out with normal people at the pub in a private room. That's what they've got to do, Fletch.
Hey, on the wokeism, right, in a serious question, is it set in stone now, here to stay? Like, are we living with perceived wokeism for the rest of our lives?
Hope not.
We can't go back on it. We know that.
Yes, we can.
Does it start to iron out a little bit?
Things change.
Individuals can't.
Generations.
Groups can, but individuals can't. Once they draw a line in the sand, I think.
I've said this all along. Bring back the cane or the strap at schools.
Yes.
Flog them.
Yep.
Flog them.
So anyone who's woke, they just get the cane. Is that what you're saying?
They get caned. Yeah. Public flogging.
We used to always
and, not, and not Joel's sort of flogging.
Oh, yeah.
Because that might bring back the crowds. Speaking of which, honour you back, sir.
All the authorities.
Come back, sac le bleu.
Righto, boys, we've got to go. We'll leave you with this.
Good exit. I'm not eating French onion dick. This weekend.
You can do what you want.
See you, boys. See you, boys.
Kia didn't just make an 8-seat family car, they made a grand utility vehicle. Kia Carnival GUV. This is Sports Day with Badge and Sats. It's time for the last blast on Sports Day with Badge and Sats.
Show's almost over for the night. Before we do, weather for Nufarm, Australian through and through. If you're listening in parks like Tim, who doesn't freeze his meat.
Yep.
listening through 2PK, the Park Spaceman Rugby League Football Club.
Yeah, famous, the Park Spaceman.
Sunny day, top of 27, low of 10 overnight. Nufarm's products are formulated with the highest quality right here in Australia. Nufarm through and through. Steve from Dubbo sent us a text saying, I haven't mentioned the supercars. I did off the top of the show, and we were going to get to it, but we've had that many text messages.
Last of the Holdens.
Yeah, Dan, I don't know if I like that. I mean,
I don't watch the cars. I watch the drivers. James Courtney's a Penrith man. I love Shane Van Gisbergen. So I watch the drivers more so than the vehicle itself, who they're representing.
I miss the Falcons because we've had the Mustangs. I'm now going to miss the Commodore. I'd love, they look big and they're fat. And now
will your electric car, will that be in the...
What's the issue with someone owning an electric
Muzz
car?
Says, you give it to Pat Cummins, and rightly so, but you own an electric car. Please explain.
What's wrong with owning an electric car?
No, there's nothing wrong with it
at all. In fact, I only picked it up Friday. How's everyone know all of a sudden? I haven't talked about it.
Because I told them about it just in Joel and Fletch.
Mate, look, what's his name? Who was it?
Rooster Muzz.
Rooster Muzz, if you want to go pay $2 a litre for petrol, go knock yourself out.
It costs you $3 on your electricity bill every time you charge it.
Wow, $3.
Every day and a half.
It costs $150 to fill the car up. $150.
So when you call me
three?
And you say, I can't make it to the studio today because I'm stuck on the side of the road.
You'd
there's
be
no,
the last person I'd call. Seriously.
There's no extension cord to plug my car in. Anyway.
Oh, are we done? Still got 2 minutes to go. Do you want to do some texts?
Yep. What have we got? Boogie and Sats, please forget what also happened in Sandpaper Gate. Steve Smith is umpires looking for the dressing sheds to see what happens. Yeah. There's been a lot of passion, I've got to say, about the topic again, which we weren't actually going to talk about in great detail, the Australian cricket side and why the crowds weren't there, but it just took over, didn't it?
Yeah, it was. Mm. Some bloke, Ian the Builder from Tamworth, thanks for your text. I think it's the first time he's ever texted.
No, he hasn't.
Oh, isn't it?
No.
Woogie, I despair for your daughters if you are their moral compass. What have I done wrong tonight?
Well, you don't have a great moral compass, full stop.
Yeah, but my daughters have
a sense of
humour.
You start talking about how you're not going to have any more French onion dip. So you don't have a great moral compass.
Mate, my kids are all right, Ian. Thanks for your concern. And my two rangers, they've got good sense of humour. Mm.
And I've got three starters for our drink at the moment.
Oh, good. Well, who's in it?
There's Toolman. There's Steve.
Steve from Dubbo, but he doesn't do
it. Adrian has said he'll be at the pub that I mentioned.
Who'd go to that? Honestly, greyhounds as pets, finding homes for incredible greyhounds.
On Sports Day, it's time for the last laugh with Scott Sattler.
I can't believe I just wandered in. He's coming right in. He's going to do a set after me.
The stage is yours, Sats.
Greyhounds make wonderful pets. Head to gapnewsouthwales.com.au to find your perfect new family
member.
Very
easy to look after, they are. I'll read a good story about Dwayne Johnson. He's looking at a new hobby. He's taking up origami, yeah. And I read a story about how someone misplaced Dwayne Johnson's cutting tool for the original origami workshop. Can't believe that they lost rocks, paper, scissors.
That's good. I'm going to give you that one.
Jack loved it.
You can grab the podcast from where you get your podcasts from. We'll be back tomorrow night. Have a great night, everybody. Good night.